another one of my old favorite groups, Orleans. You gotta reach just a little bit higher. It kind of reminds me of a phrase that someone I knew used to say all the time. I feel for you, but I just can't reach you. Hi, this is Charles on democraticfundamentalism.org. For those of you linking in from other websites, welcome. We have links. I always like to tell people this. We have links in the text version of this on democraticfundamentalism.org. That way you can check it out, read the whole story. I'll be giving you, you know, the good parts. Anyway, just look for the ongoing report at the front of the website on Daily News in Review. As I always say, you don't have to take my word for anything because I don't have to make this stuff up. I leave that for other people, like politicians, like certain politicians, like folks whose last name begin with B. Anyway, it's been an interesting day. Hurricane Isidore did a great deal of damage down in the Yucatan Peninsula. It's headed for the Gulf Coast now. Lily is another hurricane. Well, actually, it's a tropical storm now. It kind of fizzled out. It's heading toward the Bahamas. Tony Blair gave his presentation of evidence about Iraq, as if it's anything new. The violence continues in the Ivory Coast. And let's see, I've got some entertainment news, too, about a couple members of the band NSYNC. Johnny Carson's in the news, and we'll take a look at some problems happening with our environment, too, and the fires in California. Santa Clara is more like where they're at. It's in the San Jose area, which, interestingly enough, is just a few miles from my hometown of Santa Cruz. Sometimes we wouldn't come up so often, but anyway, with that, we'll get started. First, the headline, Isidore could deliver deadly floods. This is coming from Grand Isle, Louisiana. Story goes, rising tides and strong winds pushed water over the only road off the island late Tuesday, prompting state police to consider closing it as tropical storm Isidore edged northward, threatening again to become a hurricane. Isidore, which ravaged part of Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, was again expected to reach hurricane strength, but perhaps no stronger than a Category 1 before it makes its expected U.S. landfall by early Thursday. Grand Isle Mayor David Carmichael issued the evacuation order at noon Central Daylight Time. Grand Isle is about 60 miles south of New Orleans and right in the middle of the projected path of the storm. Residents of the low-lying Gulf Coast island began evacuating their homes Tuesday and moving toward the mainland on Louisiana Highway 1. It's the only escape route, but if officials do decide to close it down, residents who haven't left, they'll just have to hunker down to weather out the storm. You might want to keep note of that in your own plans as the winter comes on. We're expecting to have a pretty strong and extreme winter this year, so keep that in mind when you're planning ahead and stocking supplies and getting equipment. Forecasters say Tropical Storm Lily lost some strength Tuesday evening as it traveled through the eastern Caribbean Sea, southern coasts of the Dominican Republic, and parts of Haiti from Punta Palenque west to Tiburon are under a tropical storm watch. The interesting thing is Lily could also threaten the Gitmo detainees, you know, the guys who are enemy combatants down there by Cuba. Anyway, for more information on the hurricanes and their paths, check it out at cnn.com/weather. Good news is, though, that the temperatures in the southern states seem to have mysteriously dropped considerably. That's important, because it means the air fed to the hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico will slow down, rain a little more, but the winds will become less and less. What I've been doing is imagining that I'm spinning the hurricane clockwise, which of course opens up the hole in the middle, which means that the winds don't gather as much and it sort of throws it up into the air instead. Now, what I'm going to tell you about actually is useful for a lot of things. I get into this psychic stuff, you know, and being able to push energy and things of that nature. You can do this sort of exercise, though, for a lot of things, even just for relaxation. The way to do it is to just close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and then think of what it looks like to have a hurricane slow down. Spin it in the opposite direction. Hurricanes go counterclockwise, so you want to spin it clockwise to sort of unwind it. Then blow some cool air on it, throw it into the air. I do that with Lily, too. That's out near Barbados. it's pretty much, like I said, dissipated into a tropical storm. Who knows if what I did had any effect on it, but we could always hope. Maybe after a couple of dozen of them, we'll have some proof. Don't ever forget that people are forces of nature, too. It's really important. It means you can pretty much do whatever you want to do. You could also use that sort of exercise for something else. It's sort of one of my other favorite themes. You know, just imagine it's a whole new world, and all you have to do is want it. Meanwhile, don't ever forget it's important to be prepared for the worst if you're in the path of a storm. Make sure you have at least 3 days of water and food handy, and if you can get a solar-powered radio, that would be really helpful. Even when emergency personnel respond, remember it takes them about 3 to 5 days before services can be effective in reaching people to help them. In the Yucatan Peninsula, nearly 300,000 people are now homeless as a result of Isidore, and geologists are looking to see if the Mayan ruins have been damaged. So just keep that in mind. You can't always depend on other people to help you in an emergency of that kind. Let's see, the UN Security Council condemns the Israeli siege of Ramallah. The United Nations Security Council early Tuesday approved a resolution condemning Israel's siege of Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat's compound in Ramallah, and they called for its end. The United States abstained, calling the resolution one-sided. 14 members of the Security Council voted for the European compromise version of the text that tread the ground between an Arab-sponsored draft and an American proposal. In the end, the United States abstained when the resolution wasn't going to name Palestinian militant groups or include Israeli security issues and concerns. One key is, though, the U.S. didn't veto it. The resolution that we've adopted this evening was flawed, they said, and in our view it failed to explicitly condemn the terrorist groups and those who provide them with political cover, support, and safe haven, and perpetuating conflict in the Middle East, said U.S. Ambassador John Negroponte after the resolution passed. Lou Dobbs on CNN's Moneyline had an interesting comment on the situation regarding Israel and Iraq's willingness to comply with UN resolutions. He said, "The news today was consistent in an unusual regard. Nearly every news development seemed to have a countervailing element. The UN Security Council was focused on Ramallah, demanding that Israel withdraw forces now surrounding Yasser Arafat. The United States was focused on Iraq, demanding that the Security Council support the U.S. policy against Saddam Hussein. Of course, both Iraq and Israel are completely ignoring the United Nations and its resolutions altogether. While British Prime Minister Tony Blair was informing his parliament that Saddam Hussein could assemble weapons of mass destruction in a matter of 45 minutes. Meanwhile, President Bush and the administration lowered the terrorist threat level in this country from high to merely elevated, or as the Homeland Security Office would have it, from orange to yellow." Of course, he said a lot more. Check out the whole transcript at the link above. There, as a matter of fact, was a very mixed reaction to Tony Blair's dossier that he presented about Iraq. Tony told Parliament that President Saddam Hussein may be only a year or two away from possessing a nuclear bomb and has military plans for the use of chemical and biological weapons. He says they're deployable within 45 minutes of an order to use them. Of course, you know, from my point of view, I'd say let's not give them an excuse, but, well, as I speak, you know, troops are landing in Kuwait, complete with battle tanks. I wonder if that'll make Hussein give a second thought to what he's doing. He also revealed that Baghdad had been shopping among African countries to buy uranium to make an atom bomb. In the United Kingdom Parliament on Tuesday night, 56 rebel Labour Parliament members used a technical motion at the end of a day-long emergency parliamentary debate to register their opposition to a war. You can go to the CNN link above for full text of Blair's speech, as well as access to the dossier of information about Iraq's weaponry. U.S. forces are heading to the Ivory Coast. That's a good thing. U.S. troops are reported to have landed, actually, in West Africa to safeguard 200 American school children holed up in a rebel-held city after the bloodiest ever uprising in the Ivory Coast. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, French troops moved closer to the central city of Bouak, prepared to rescue any of their nationals and other Westerners that could be caught between government troops and rebel forces who launched a coup attempt last Thursday. The first of what were expected to be four U.S. military planes for any rescue landed at 2:30 Greenwich Mean Time on Wednesday at the Katoka International Airport in Accra, capital of neighboring Ghana, from an anonymous airport official. The military contingent will be made up of about 200 heavily armed U.S. Special Forces troops who are expected to land either outside Abidjan, the capital of West Africa, or in neighboring Ghana. That according to officials in Washington on Tuesday. That's pretty good, rescuing and protecting Americans in danger. As far as I'm concerned, that's a good use of the U.S. military. Meanwhile, Tom Daschle's in the news, criticizing Dick Cheney for politicizing the Iraqi war. Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle is accusing Vice President Dick Cheney of politicizing the Iraq debate by urging an audience in Kansas to vote for a GOP congressional candidate because he supports President Bush on the issue. Daschle said, "I must say that I was very chagrined that the vice president would go to a congressional district yesterday and make the assertion that somebody ought to vote for this particular Republican candidate because he was a war supporter and that he was bringing more support to the president than his opponent. If that doesn't politicize this war," Daschle said, "I don't know what does." Cheney said, "President Bush and I are grateful for the opportunity to serve our country. We thank you for your support, not just our efforts, but for good candidates like Adam Taft, who will be a fine partner for us in the important work ahead." Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, asked the question. He said, "It goes to the question of what the goal is here. Is it regime change in Iraq? Or regime change in the Senate? If this is really designed to be dragged out to get it closer to the election and to obscure every other issue, including the limited success of our war against terrorism and the economy, then I don't give it much hope," he said. Democrats now say they may be forced to offer their own resolution if Bush doesn't abandon his request for authority to take unilateral military action against Iraq before exhausting all efforts at the United Nations. "I think there will be an alternative," said Senator Harry Reid, the Democrat of Nevada, the number two Democrat in the Senate. Interestingly enough, there's a groundswell of younger Americans calling for the disarming of the United States. They'll really like this story. In South Dakota, there's new life for Cold War missile sites. That's right. The deadly drama underlying the Cold War will be relived in an old nuclear missile site in South Dakota, where parents and kids will be able to see how the end of the world could have begun. National Park Service officials will be interpreting the still-fresh history of the tense struggle between communism and democracy at the Minuteman Missile National Historic Site near Wall, South Dakota. Craig Manson, the Assistant Interior Secretary overseeing the National Park Service and the Fish and Wildlife Service, said, "The fact that here we are in 2002 turning our most powerful weapon system into a national park, while there are people in other parts of the world that are creating and hiding weapons of mass destruction, goes to show the difference between America and other nations in the world. It illustrates who's truly dedicated to the cause of peace and who is not," he said. Actually, Craig, I'm not sure I'd go quite that far yet. I'll wait to see how many countries we attack in the next year first. That's definitely got to be a Bushism. Let's see. "The fact that we are turning our most powerful weapon system into a national park." We're not doing that. Remember, it was abandoned. "And other people in parts of the world are creating and hiding weapons of mass destruction. I think we've got the biggest army and arsenal." What are we hiding? Meanwhile, on the front of the West Nile virus, the CDC says the death toll has reached 98. More than 2,000 people have been diagnosed with the virus, according to officials. Reports now say the virus can be transferred by mosquitoes, as well as through transfusions and transplants. You might think, because the weather's getting a little cooler, at least in my area of the woods it is, that you're not as susceptible to mosquitoes. Well, don't be mistaken. The danger is still out there. You want to be real careful. Be sure to use something on yourself that includes DEET or some other kind of repellent that will protect you from mosquitoes. Mosquitoes, you might not know this, actually transfer more disease and kill more people than any other bug, animal, or rodent in the world. In the area of entertainment, at least that's where we're going to take this, NSYNC's Lance Bass is back in Russia for space training. That's not a state of mind, it's actually for going into space. Anyway, Lance Bass is back at Russia's Cosmonaut Center and will start a new training session Monday, despite being excluded from the crew of a rocket heading to the International Space Station next month. That's according to the head of a Russian company that works with the NSYNC singer. I can't imagine it. He'll come back singing songs like Somewhere Over the Rainbow or When You Wish Upon a Star. Speaking of NSYNC as opposed to synchronicity, maybe I'll write them a song called Insynchronicity. It could be a real stinging single. I know, it's bad. Jason Timberlake has agreed to be the spokesman for a campaign against drinking while driving. This after a Timberlake fan was killed outside a Los Angeles radio station. In Virginia, they're opening up a museum dedicated to the great late night talk show host Johnny Carson. He was a true pioneer. Warner Entertainment, I love this one, and RealPort are opening up a site that'll make it possible for you to download music. It's sort of like Napster, only it's, well, let's put it this way, more legitimate. They're putting 30,000 titles online that can be downloaded, each for just 99 cents. That's a pretty good value. I'm going to probably use it a whole lot myself. On TV, TNT has this great-looking feature called Charmed. It plays Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. That's Eastern Time, as well as Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Their motto, the power of three will set you free. Maybe I'll skip the news sometime and watch it. You just never know. If that's not enough, starting October 1st, this is cool. The X-Files will be on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't ever forget, the truth really is out there. Be looking for it. It'll be in your hometown soon. Kind of concerned, you know, the fires are still going on, and it's a real problem. We've got a headline for you. The fire sends smoke pouring across L.A. as if they don't have enough. This is coming from Laverne, California. Wildfire in the foothills above Los Angeles jumped from 8,000 to 12,000 acres in just a few hours on Tuesday, sending smoke pouring over the sprawling metropolitan area and triggering public health warnings. The fire spread across 11 miles of the San Gabriel Mountains, has destroyed 44 cabins and homes, and threatens hundreds of others. Flames raged unchecked as firefighters worked in rugged canyon terrain against erratic winds and triple-digit temperatures. I can see the flame right from my backyard. We got ash in the backyard, on the sidewalk, and the pool. That from Los Angeles Dodgers manager Jim Tracy, who lives in Claremont, just 40 miles east of downtown. It's not good, he said. I've never seen anything like that. Some two dozen aircraft dropped water and fire retardant on the fire, which authorities said had the potential to grow to 20,000 acres. Then, in Northern California's Santa Clara County, that's just south of San Jose and about 40 miles from Santa Cruz, another dangerous blaze raced over 1,600 acres near Yuvas County Park, west of Morgan Hill. More than 1,000 firefighters attacked the flames on the ground, while 10 planes and helicopters aided from the air. 50 homes were threatened Tuesday morning, and two outbuildings had been destroyed. That, according to Ruth Furziger, a spokeswoman with the California Department of Forestry. And finally, it's been reported that it's likely there are no unpolluted streams and rivers in the United States, placing animals and wildlife in danger of extinction. We'll bring you more on that soon. And last but not least, the Bushism for today, you know, when they say stuff and kind of accuse other people of things when the fact is they're just covering for the fact that they're doing it themselves. Well, George was speaking of Saddam Hussein this time, as usual. He said it to the UN. If they won't expose this liar for what he is, nah, let it go. Just use your imagination. That's a wrap. This is Charles at democraticfundamentalism.org. You have a great day.